We have a new story on naturalnews.com. 70% of U.S. Army active duty soldiers are overweight or obese. And as I tweeted out, Muslim fighters have their fatah. American soldiers are just fat. Yeah, and this is kind of an indication of where things are headed. This is what happens in the late stage of empire collapse. When an empire becomes rooted in consumerism, overconsumption, sedentary lifestyles, complacency, apathy, all these things that now characterize the United States, and in many ways, Israel as well. And that's why you have 300,000 terrified IDF reservists who have been called up now and put back into active duty, absolutely terrified, have no idea what they're doing. They have no experience fighting in underground tunnels and urban warfare that they're about to jump into in Gaza. Absolutely terrified. They would prefer to be making TikTok videos or to be YouTube influencers, I guess, or engaging in, you know, fashion shopping of tennis shoes and purses and whatever, waving their LGBT flags around. But they're actually going to end up in combat. Now, American soldiers are going to be joining them. It turns out 2,000 U.S. Marines have been deployed to, quote, the shores of Israel. And apparently, Marines are going to have boots on the ground. Now, Marines are very well trained, the best trained fighters in the U.S. military. And they may not be as fat as the Army grunts, but they are still overweight and obese in very large numbers. And just the number of them, 2,000 Marines, is not going to change this war outcome in any way whatsoever. And by the way, U.S. Marines, even though they do tend to have some training in urban warfare, they don't have training in tunnel warfare, underground fighting and booby traps and all of that. So they're going to face a horrible situation. And the reason I mention all of this is because, of course, Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, let's be clear, and they committed atrocious acts of terrorism against Israeli civilians, you know, mass murdering, what is it now, 1,300 or so Israeli civilians, including women and children, you know, a horrific act of terrorism. But Hamas fighters are not fat. They are fit, actually. They are fit and they are hardened. And part of that is Israel's open-air prison situation with Gaza, which restricts calories to Gaza. So, in other words, all the residents of Gaza, a subset of which is Hamas, have been forced into a calorie restriction diet. And as you know, I'm a nutritionist, and calorie restriction actually is a longevity strategy. Gives you longer life and better health and better function. Whereas, you know, overeating, which is what the U.S. soldiers suffer from, and to some extent Israeli soldiers as well, that shortens your lifespan and shortens your cognition and makes you, of course, less effective as a fighting force. And even your brain doesn't work as well. So the Hamas fighters, one-on-one, are far more effective at fighting than are IDF soldiers or U.S. soldiers. In addition, Hamas fighters are fighting for their very lives, having everything at stake, with nothing left to lose. Israel bombing the smithereens out of Gaza Strip, over 6,000 bombs in 6 days, which is almost unimaginable. We haven't seen this level of carpet bombing since maybe World War II. And there's nothing left to lose. You know, Israel is determined to kill every last living Palestinian. Israel is committed to genocide. They are committed to ethnic cleansing. And virtually all the Israeli military commanders and many civilians are also in support of that, as we have seen over the last week. So they've put the Hamas fighters in Gaza in a position where they literally have nothing left to lose, and where many of them are, in fact, willing to die for their cause, because what other option do they even have? It's not like Israel is offering to negotiate for peace or diplomacy or a two-state solution. No, it's just, we're going to come kill you and wipe you out and kill your mothers and daughters and babies, and what are you going to do about it? Like, that's the situation that Hamas has been placed in. Now, It's being reported that Hamas spent the last 2 years preparing for this October 7th attack on Israel. During that time, Hamas fighters and strategic minds, I mean, they are not stupid animals. They are, in fact, I mean, very intelligent people. A lot of people from the Middle East are high IQ people. I mean, just to be clear, you know, look at the very cradle of human civilization out of regions that today are named Iran and Iraq. And, you know, these are the people who figured out agriculture and geometry and the alphabet and all these things, some of the biggest breakthroughs in the history of human technology and civilization came out of the Middle East. These are not stupid people. But Israel calls the Palestinians stupid people, and that's Israel's oversight, and that is a major strategic error on the part of Israel, which is underestimating their enemy. Hamas is not stupid. If they've been planning this for 2 years, they've also been planning on Israel's response. And Israel's response is very, very predictable. That faced with the killing of civilians, that Israel would predictably overreact. And they would try to come into Gaza. They would try to raid or do a ground assault on Gaza and wipe out all of Gaza. So anticipating that, Hamas has no doubt spent the last 2 years, if not more, preparing the battlefield of Gaza to carry out mass casualties against IDF fighters, the soldiers and the reservists that have just been called up. They are going to die by the thousands if they enter Gaza. That's clear. So Gaza is being prepared with so-called super bombs. And super bombs are conventional explosives, but in very high quantities that are buried among the rubble. They are buried in ways that can't be detected. And some of them may be under the streets, but designed to explode upward. Of course, you're going to have improvised explosives. You're going to have mines. You're going to have anti-tank weapons. You're going to have all kinds of operations carried out by Hamas against the Israeli invasion forces, the IDF soldiers and the armored vehicles and so on. This is going to extract a heavy toll on Israel, especially given the status of the Israeli youth who make up the majority of the military, who are, again, largely very secular, materialistic, narcissistic, you know, TikTok video filming Westerners who know nothing of hardship. They've never had a day where they didn't have every meal they wanted, you know. They've never had a day where they actually had to work. And they share this, you know, with Canadians and Americans and a lot of Western Europeans. I mean, this is what Western society has become. Consumption, materialism, trying to be famous on Instagram, and trying to fake like you're living a luxury lifestyle and traveling everywhere and fake like you have all these friends and fake like you have all these fashion accessories. And among both women and men, by the way, these people are going to be begging for God to save them. Even if they're not religious, they're going to be begging for God to save them the minute they step foot into Gaza, because they're going to face hardened fighters in Hamas who, like I said, have nothing left to lose, but are also, frankly, one-on-one, vastly superior warriors. Now, I'm not endorsing, obviously, what Hamas has done and their terrorism. I'm not a Hamas supporter, obviously. It's a horrifically inhumane terrorist organization. But objectively, man to man, a Hamas fighter is far more effective than any number of IDF fighters because of the hardship that they have endured, because of what they've been put through, and because of what's at stake. You know, a lot of IDF reservists think that they can show up, they can, you know, pull a trigger for a couple of weeks and then go back to, you know, their cryptocurrency project or their YouTube videos or whatever. That's their life, a life of relative luxury, a life that's easy, a life that's, you know, complacent, a life where they can be snowflakes, they can be weak, and they can be accepted by society as long as they wave the LGBT flag. You know, Israel has become woke. I mean, Tel Aviv in particular has become woke. Woke does not make you strong. Woke does not make you a warrior. It makes you weak. It turns men into women, literally, with transgenderism and all the hormones. And a lot of these hormones, by the way, are in the food. It's in the herbicides. It's in the pesticides. It's in the soy products. So woke is not strong. Woke is weak. And you are about to find out, you're about to see, if Israel moves on Gaza with the ground assault, you're going to see what happens when woke fighters face actual warriors who have nothing left to lose. And it's going to be a slaughter. Now, don't get me wrong, Hamas is very unlikely to survive this. And I think they know that. They will be eventually overrun, but they will extract an extremely heavy military cost from the IDF in that process. And they will expose to the world then Israel's brutality in Israel killing Palestinian civilians, which of course has already begun, and about 3,000 Palestinian civilians are so far dead because of Israeli bombing. And that includes at least 500 children at this point. So yes, Israel has killed at least 500 Palestinian children. And that number is going to, of course, get even larger as the ground assault begins. Now, Hamas, also having high IQ analysts among them, again, remember, the Palestinian people are not stupid. They're not low IQ animals like Israel tells us. That's a lie. That's a lie that Israel tells themselves so that they can treat them like animals. But that is not an accurate description of Palestinian people. Palestinian people are capable of every cognitive achievement that every other ethnic group is capable of. You know, higher education, engineering, mathematics, science, you name it. Doctors, there are plenty of Palestinian doctors out there. So what Hamas knows is that they don't have to defeat the entire Israeli military. All they have to do is get Israel to commit to Gaza. And once that happens, Hamas knows that Hezbollah will attack from the north, very likely. Now, Hezbollah is not looking for war. They're not looking for, you know, destruction of their own fighters, who are also very, very tough, hardened, veteran fighters, because most of them fought in Syria, for example. They are tough. They are experienced. They are lean. They're not, you know, fat, overfed, complacent, sedentary soldiers like the U.S. Army has. They are lean, mean fighters, no matter what you think of their politics or their goals or their terrorism. Again, objectively, looking at the individuals, they are lean, mean fighting machines or killing machines, and you should not underestimate them. If Hezbollah moves against Israel, then Hamas knows that Israel will then be fighting a two-front war. And then Hamas, their entire job at that point is to simply occupy the resources of Israel's military, to keep Israel busy in Gaza, to give up ground slowly while extracting a very heavy cost among the IDF with IEDs and super bombs and snipers and, you know, anti-tank missiles and whatever else Hamas has managed to come up with, even firing rockets against their own city, if necessary. If Israel takes over, you know, a portion of the city, then Hamas could fire rockets at, you know, its own land, essentially. And that will likely happen. It's kind of like poor man's artillery, right? And they're making these rockets out of water pipes, by the way, like big 8-inch pipes, steel pipes, and they just turn them into rockets, and it costs them almost nothing. It's wild. So then when Hezbollah enters the fray, then the United States is very likely to get involved with its 2,000 Marines. Now, 2,000 Marines are nothing to be dismissed lightly. 2,000 Marines are an effective fighting force, and they do have good training. They have good marksmanship. They have good equipment. But 2,000 Marines is still only 2,000 Marines, and there's only so much that you can do with 2,000, and it's frankly not that much compared to the size of Gaza or the size of Israel. I don't know how these 2,000 Marines are going to be deployed, but they're not going to change the outcome of this war. But what they will do is they will invoke Iran to get involved. So then you're going to start to have Iranian militias in Syria and perhaps other forces located in Jordan and certainly Lebanon and maybe Iran proper, which has missiles, precision missiles that can strike Tel Aviv, for example. You're going to have Iran joining the fight. And so you're going to see U.S. military bases all across the Middle East overrun and destroyed. You're going to see thousands of U.S. soldiers dead in those attacks. And then this is going to result in a call on the U.S. side for a much larger deployment of U.S. soldiers and a U.S. response against Iran. And this is what the U.S. wants, actually, is to escalate this to the point where the public would support the U.S. attacking Iran. And that's when you might see Israel and the U.S. deploying, even potentially at some point, nuclear weapons against Iran to try to halt Iran's nuclear weapons program. The chances of this whole thing going nuclear once Israel enters Gaza are very high. Perhaps 75%. Very high. The odds of World War III breaking out here and going nuclear are blood-chillingly high. And we are on the path to that, and Israel is pushing escalation. So what can we do in all this? I think one of the most important things that we can do, which is what I'm doing, is to call for peace. Call for peace. Demand peaceful solutions, and demand that diplomacy enter this, and a ceasefire, diplomacy, work on diplomatic solutions, maybe a two-state solution that recognizes Palestine for coexistence among Israel, where people can live in peace side by side, if that's even ever possible. Maybe that's never possible among Palestinians and Israelis. Who knows? But at least that's one thing we can do. Delay the attack on Gaza, and it gives us more time for diplomacy and cooler heads to prevail, because that then takes us out of the escalation cycle that could lead to World War III and nuclear weapons being used. Remember, this is not just about the Israeli people. It's not just about the Palestinian people. This is also about people in Syria, people in Iran, people in Lebanon, people in Jordan, people in Egypt. We're talking about a very, very large group of people, hundreds of millions of people in the greater areas, including Turkey, that their lives are at risk right now if this escalates. And so out of a sense of humanity, we must call for de-escalation. That's one thing we can do. The second thing we can do is get prepared for World War III, because it looks like that Israel and the United States are absolutely pushing for that. Although the U.S. recently has tried to maybe get Israel to delay a little bit. So that's an interesting shift. But Israel doesn't want to delay. They want to go in right now. So be prepared for World War III. Be prepared for oil to hit $200, $300 a barrel. Be prepared for an energy embargo. Be prepared for supply chain outages. Be prepared for a wartime footing. Be prepared for elections to be canceled. Be prepared for hyperinflation and massive money printing across the USA and across the Western world, because that's exactly what's coming. If you are prepared for those things, well, then, you might have a chance to make it through what's coming if cooler heads don't prevail. I call for peace. I call for universal human rights and universal human dignity. That's my position. I'm opposed to genocide. I am opposed to ethnic cleansing. I'm opposed to escalation of war. But sadly, the people in charge, they want all that. So that appears to be where we are going. So take all necessary steps, and thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com. I say God bless us all of us human beings everywhere across the world. God bless us all, and may we all find peace and prosperity in the days ahead, if that's even possible. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.